Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, titled, Rejoice in Christ Jesus. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send a letter by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, titled, Rejoice in Christ Jesus. This is part 1 of 2.
The cocoa is running low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally hug goodnight, how we'll hate going out in the storm. But should the rapture occur tonight, all the way up we'll go home. This world is quickly dying, and to witness we're still trying. But since we're still here,
going to be beginning our study of Philippians chapter 3. A couple of you asked, do you have a Christmas sermon this morning? I said, yes, I'm going to be preaching on hell.
Amen.
It's bright and it glows. I'm just kidding, Gloria. I'm kidding. Philippians 3, beginning of verse 1. We'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this good group of people who didn't stay home and watch cartoons or sleep in or golf or whatever they're doing out there today. Thankful for folks who like to get together with the saints and can spend a couple of hours of their lives each week singing and praying and fellowshipping and opening this book, studying together. And Lord, we're thankful that this is just a tiny taste of what we have in store for us in your presence for eternity.
Amen.
And we just thank you and praise you and ask you to help us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. As I said, we're in Philippians 3, 1 to 3. And we're going to title this study by the words we'll see in verse 3. Rejoice in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There's no better theme for Christmas time than to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Paul begins chapter 3 by reminding us that we are forgetful. How many of you walk into a room from time to time and then stop and think, wait a minute, why did I come in here? How many of you have lost your keys? I see that hand. Recently.
Still lost.
Oh, really? We need to continue to pray. Yeah, that's good. Mariah has a praise report.
The last
Doesn't that sound spiritual? Yeah. A week later. You say, I know when I misplace my glasses, I'll find them in my Bible. Yes, that's the question. Where did I leave that thing? So I think I'll take that as a yes. You agree you're forgetful. It sounds like we could have testimony service. So verse 1, that's why he says this. Read verse 1 with me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You know, I've told Jenny many times through the years as I preach, she always tries to, she has very few benefits of being the pastor's wife. And so one of them, she thinks, is to find out what I'm preaching ahead of time. And so she'll always come and say, well, so what are you going to preach about tomorrow, preacher? And I'll say, Jesus. Or like Charlie used to say, when she would say, what did the preacher preach about today, Charlie, when he's a little boy? And he'd say, God. See, I listened. But a lot of times I've told Jenny that what I'm preaching, everyone should have already heard before or read before, but Paul constantly says to keep these things in remembrance. And he says to preachers, if you put your audience, the congregation, the hearers, in remembrance of these things, then you are a good minister. Amen. Really, one of the keys to being a good preacher is to simply preach the plain, simple words of God.
Amen.
And put the saints in remembrance of what they should already have heard. But we're all still human. Amen. We're forgetful. And sometimes it's back there somewhere, but like Mariah's glasses, we just have trouble finding it. And that's why we go to the Bible to find it. Amen? Yeah. I was able to use that as a nice little illustration. And the attitude is better safe than sorry. When it comes to us studying the Bible, I don't skip. I'm just telling you, there are preachers who I know skip because they think, boy, everybody should know this. Yeah. Wait a minute, that didn't stop Paul from repeating himself.
Nope.
And I don't know. I mean, even in we have a little church compared to Joel Osteen, you know. But even in a crowd this size, it's very likely that anything I or John, or Steve, or any preacher, when he preaches from the Word of God, anything is going to spark something in your brain to say, oh, I remember that.
Amen.
You didn't until it came up. You didn't until the preacher preached it.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So it's worth coming. Even over and above hearing Jenny sing Let It Snow. Even above the snacks and the muffins that the muffin man brought. Even above the free coffee and the tea, even above this fellowship that we're, and to get to see little babies. Even above all that, I guarantee you anybody who's honest will tell you that they heard something, they either learned something new, or they were reminded of something they should have or already have read and studied. And so coming to church is worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The fact is, Scripture does not reflect positively upon those who always have to have something new.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the drives the megachurches today, is to always be fresh and always be giving you something new. And so the music has to be the newest thing. And so what do? It's really sad that most of the big churches and everything, they mimic Hollywood and they mimic the top music of the day. And they try to, I think it's cute to take a nice little song like Let It Snow and parody it, and we enjoy it. But what they're doing, they're dead serious about it.
Yeah.
And they get up there and they'll sing, back when I was a kid, was really when I think it first started. And Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and these guys, they came out with music that sounded like what you heard on Casey Kasem's Top 40. Well, it got worse after that. And the Top 40, you had, you know, people like Britney Spears and whoever in the 90s was big. And they sang, that's how they sang, all breathy and sensual. And the next thing you know, in the church, you'd go to church and they'd be up there making love to the microphone in front of you. And you're like, cool down there. It's bad enough you're up there with a miniskirt that almost doesn't even exist. And low cut, you know, and showing off whatever it is God gave you. And then you're up there singing, oh, Jesus loves me. She sounds like, remember that recording of Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to John F. Kennedy? That's what a lot of these people sound like on Christian radio. It's just amazing that they have to mimic. Instead of plainly, clearly, there's nothing wrong with trying to sound good. Don't get me wrong. And I always tell everybody, one of the things, I'm just saying the truth of the matter with our music is we lack practice. And we've tried to have practices, but life gets in the way. And there's nothing wrong with practicing so that you can sound good and play it and all that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But to always have to have something new is a sign of a spiritual emptiness in you. There's something wrong if you've got to be entertained and tickled by new things all the time. Here's Acts 17:21. This is not a compliment. It says, this is Luke writing. He says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Just channel flip sometime, daytime television. That's all that is. Millions of people, including people on the job, people at work now listen on their phones and have little TV screens that they watch while they're working. And what are they watching? They're watching these talk shows and these Hollywood news shows like E! And Entertainment Tonight or whatever they call it now. And they always want the new juicy gossip. And these soap operas are always mimicking the new thing out there in the world of sin. It's always new, new, new. You notice there's nothing but breaking news now?
Yes, that's right.
You turn on the news at 4 a.m. and they'll say, breaking news, it is now 4 a.m. in the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Is that breaking news?
No.
Everything's breaking news. Why? Because they know their audience. We're a nation of people who have the attention span of a 4-year-old, and we want new, 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 new. And that's what Athenians, guess what? They're pagan Greeks.
Yeah.
Pagan Greeks. You're acting like a pagan when you're that childish and you always have to have something new all the time. And that's why I'm going to tell you, there are people who have come, they've listened to our studies and they've contacted us. People have come here and visited and they get bored.
Amen.
And they quit. And I've had people say, well, we ought to do something to keep those people in. No.
Amen.
No, I'm not going to do anything to keep them in. If you're that spiritually bankrupt, you need to repent.
Amen.
It's not for the church to become more pagan so they can tickle your ears.
Amen.
And that's the way it is. I have people get, oh, I love that message and I love this message. And they'll pick a few that, you know, really interesting messages. But then because we go verse by verse through books and we spend time like we're doing now reminding you of these things, they get bored because they want to know who the Antichrist is. And they want to know when the rapture is going to take place. And they want to know when the next world war is going to be. And it's going to be, you know, and that's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
They get bored to death with the Word of God. Isn't that sad?
Sad.
And it's not just me. That's why I'm saying it's not just me. I've seen these people, they listen to any Bible teacher, they get bored.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says that this is a fool's errand.
Amen.
If you're always chasing something new, you're being foolish. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible's true. Amen?
Amen?
Then there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're chasing new things, you're chasing foolishness. I just ask this, so what's new for the Christian? To be announced. There's something new coming. There's something new coming. But it's not supposed to be from the pulpit. It's not supposed to be something that makes your, you know, whatever hair you have stand up on your neck and make you tingle. That's not the new thing. What's coming is to be announced. What I mean by that, the prophet Isaiah put it this way: for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
Hallelujah.
See, we got something new on the way, and we're waiting for him. And when him, who is Jesus, comes, we're going to get something new. It's going to blow all this other garbage that the world is chasing after, blow it away. Life is a rerun. Can you say amen?
Amen.
People have come to me, you know, and stressed and troubled by some terrible thing happening in their life. I said, you have to understand, you're not the first person to go through this. I can say that without any fear of being contradicted by the facts of history. I don't care what you're going through, you're not the first. There's nothing new in politics. You look at right now, the way that our political system is set up, it's the forerunner of the Nazi Party in America.
Yeah.
Right now, the liberal movement is the forerunner of the Nazi Party. They are a brainwashing cult who want to control everything you think, everything you say. If you disagree with them, you're a bigot, you're a hater. So what do? They try to pass hate crime laws to put you in prison for disagreeing with them. And if you don't think that's true, I'm sorry, I'm being nice, but you're ignorant.
Yeah, right.
That is exactly what liberals are trying to do in this country. And the reason they hate your president is because he doesn't fit the standard Democrat or Republican model.
Amen.
The major Republican leaders in this country hate our president.
Yeah, right.
When I talk about Donald Trump, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about you. They hate you. And the reason they hate our president right now is because he resembles you too much.
Amen.
He is you can say whatever you want about what he did in the past or what he even may even think. What is he doing? He's doing things to hurt Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
He's doing things to hurt socialism.
Amen.
He's doing things to hurt the socialist healthcare system that Obama tried to put in tax.
Yeah.
He's doing things to hurt the Muslims around the world who want to take over the world.
Amen.
Making Jerusalem the capital.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Just one example. The reason they hate him is because they hate you. And some of you Christians out there are just too stupid to understand that.
Amen.
And you play right along, complaining about his tweets and all that nonsense.
Oh.
Grow up. All my life I've said, I wish there was a president who would not be a bootlicker and not be a format for the liberal media and news to wipe their feet on. To take a stand and speak against. And I'd sit there watching TV and I'd yell. I'd be yelling, Jenny can tell you. I'd be yelling at the TV saying, say this. Say what you ought to say. Respond the way you ought to respond. Fight back. Now I just sit there and say, whoa, amen. Preach it, President. Nothing new in celebrity worship. I know people from the time they get up, the time they go to bed, they're watching what everybody in Hollywood's doing, who thinks this, and they go, and they actually base a lot of their politics, speaking of politics, based on what some stupid celebrity says.
Yeah.
And that kind of worship is not new. It's been around since the beginning of human history.
Yeah.
They deify human beings. That's why they call them stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a star? They worship the stars. Pagans worship stars. And they put the word star on these humans that they worship. Amen. That's what it's all about. There's nothing new in music. Somebody says, well, rock and roll. What a laugh.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley stole everything he got from black blues musicians.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You say, well, the black blues musicians were new. No, they got it from Africa.
Right,
and they got it from actually 2,000 or 3,000 years before them, of the African music with the African beat. They brought it, they were brought over by force to America. And while they're here, they said, well, we were here, we might as well sing and dance. So they did. And that's what you call rock and roll today. Stole it from Africa. And on it goes. Nothing new. You can trace it all the way back to the very beginning. Nothing new in religion. I mean, most everything you see today goes back to Nimrod. And that silly, goofy guy over there that all these Roman Catholics call Holy Father. And he wears that little fish Dagon hat. Just go do your research. It's not new. Nothing new. Only those ignorant of history think they're seeing something new. So if you're chasing something new, you're just foolish. You're not going to get anything new. You're just getting the same old thing. But God has something new in store. That's why he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:9 also. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. That's similar to what the prophet Isaiah said, but Paul took it and made it his own by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so we know the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Return to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Just in case you don't believe me. Revelation 21, beginning of verse 1. The best is yet to come. We talked about things that are new. What's coming? Something new. Something huge, and it's new. Revelation 21, begin verse 1, read it with me. And I saw a what?
New
heaven and a what?
New earth.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I don't know about you, but I'll trade all this Hollywood and political garbage new. I'll trade all that in for this.
Amen.
I want the new heaven and the new earth. That's all they sing about. That we talked about the theme song of the New World Order, Imagine, by John Lennon. Yeah. It's all about getting rid of religion, setting up a socialist utopia, and having a new world order, a one world government.
Yeah.
And they're going to get it. They're going to get it for about 3.5 years, and then it's going to blow up in their faces.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to get. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, what?
Yeah.
New Jerusalem. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what's new. That's what's coming. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. See, that's Jesus they're talking about. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Then, not before, only after that, verse 4, read that with me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The former things are passed away? So then what? Verse 5, read that. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things what?
New.
And he said unto me, write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, so forth, so on.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's what's new.
Amen.
And it's to be announced. We don't know the day or the hour when all this is going to come down, but it's going to come down. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we are told in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
You can, as you study the Word, as you live your life, you can always stop and think about what's new.
Amen.
And rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
And you can choose not to, but if you're married and your spouse leaves you or dies, you can choose to go into a great depression and pop pills, or you can rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
And that is the way it works. And people just won't listen, and they'll just go in and handle things unbiblically. They'll refuse to live a life rejoicing in the Lord. The same thing's true of your own health. You can walk into the doctor and he can tell you you have some kind of chronic disease like I've got, or a terminal disease. Now you can choose to go in a great depression and move, or you can begin to rejoice in the Lord and meditate on what's about to happen. And I've seen both ways. I've seen Christians who knew they were about to die. They knew that barring some miracle, they were going to pass away. But they chose to think upon the things that are about to happen, to meditate on what's new in the Lord, and they died rejoicing. You want to die rejoicing or die acting like a pagan with no hope? And folks, if you try to wait until your deathbed, you're probably going to die like a pagan without hope. Now is the time to begin living with the rejoicing of the Lord in your heart. Live daily rejoicing in the Lord. And then when those days come, because they will come, one of the things that people just seem to think is, oh, it never happened to me. Are you a human being? It's going to happen to you. The only thing that's going to get you out of it is, come up hither. And you just don't know for sure when it's going to happen. Verse 2. Now read that with me. Beware of dogs. Were you with me? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now you say, well, right in the middle of this thing where he's saying rejoice in the Lord, and sounds real positive all the way through verse 1, and he just immediately begins saying, beware of dogs. And that's talking about Gentile false teachers. Yeah. Beware of evil workers. And you can fill in the blank there with a lot of descriptions. Beware of the concision. Now, this is going to sound anti-Semitic, but it's true. Some of the worst people in the world today are Jewish liberals. Just a fact. And they try to push their ever in Israel. If you go try to witness to people in the street, some of those Orthodox Jews will come out there and try to beat the daylight out of you and kill you. So what do? We pray for them. We continue to preach the gospel. We stand against them when they come against the gospel. Amen. At the same time, they still have a right to exist. They still have a right to that land. That land is theirs. It doesn't belong to any Palestinian so-called. Doesn't belong to any Muslim. Doesn't belong to the English. It belongs to Israel. Jerusalem belongs to Israel. Amen. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Always has been, always will be.
Amen.
Listen, Palestinians, that's fiction.
Amen.
They never existed. There's never been a time where Palestine has been a country. The so-called Palestinians have never actually existed. Those people over there today are Jordanians and Egyptians. That's who they are. And they were used and have been used continually now as a political football. They could have moved to Jordan or Egypt or Saudi Arabia or anywhere. They didn't want that. They wanted to keep them there in a camp so they could use them against the Jews. You need to wake up to that. If you're watching the evening news on ABC, CBS, CNN, your brain is rotting and you need to stop watching that garbage and get in the Word and learn the truth. Too many Christians argue with me on this issue. Every Christian who argues with me on that issue is plumb stupid. They're ignorant. You have no sense about you if you're going to argue against the Jews having their own land and their own capital. Just brain dead. There are all kinds of Christians, and I believe they're saved. They'll go to heaven, and they're stupid.
Amen. PBFOhioRadio.com.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.